I want to talk today about lighten up. I think it's a really good topic. Actually, it's something I need to hear. Paul reminds me all the time. I mean, if that is probably the one thing after straighten up, it would be lighten up. And I'm learning from her how to put in practice. You see, here's how you grow. The more you understand, the more you will grow. And the more that you apply what you understand, the more you will grow. So I'm trying to apply this in this series, 12 Steps Up, How Messy People Mature. We're taking the 12 steps of AA and taking it out of its clinical environment and trying to put into work shoes, where we understand that these principles, these 12 steps up, really are 12 steps up, to grow up. I've always believed that growing old is a choice. Growing older is a privilege. Right? So we have gone through these steps. We wake up, understand that we're powerless to change ourselves. You don't have to change. You can change, but you don't have to do the change or can't do the change alone. We wake up. We look up. Not back, not forward. Not back in resentment, not forward in dread, not around us, but up. Up to the one who loved us and created us, knows exactly where we are and exactly what we need, and a God who is exactly an on-time God. I've learned that. All of my life, I've learned that to be true. I haven't always liked his timing, but in hindsight, he is always on time. Almost never early. Lord, could you step it up? But never late. Wake up, look up. And then line up. I bring my life into alignment. I give control of my life over to God. It's that yes, that yield, exercise, and submit. And so today, as we have lined our lives up, brought our lives into alignment, let's learn how to dig deep into our soul and unload ourselves from some baggage. Some of you are not tired because you're old or you're out of shape. Or you work too hard. You're just carrying too much spiritual, emotional baggage. Amen? That stuff will wear you out. So we want to learn how to lighten up. I love what David said. What confidence, what does this say about David's view of God? That he would make this prayer. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test my thoughts. You remember when you were a kid? And maybe you were going somewhere. For us, it was going to church. And my mother would always have to inspect me before we left the room. And this is one thing I know. And I've learned this from Paula. Are you ready? A mother's spit will cure everything. It is a wonder drug. I mean, it's hair tonic, it's toothpaste, it's Clearasil, it's everything, right? David is saying, Lord, look at me. Look at me. Am I presentable? Know my heart. Know my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you say, oh, to trust God that much. God, take away anything that would lead me astray. Take away anything that would diminish your life in me. Take away anything that would detract me. My job, my stuff, my car, anything you want to take away. Take away anything. Some of us aren't there yet. Because when we pray, we're asking God for stuff. And success and connections and all the things that are already there, ours, but we're worried because from the moment we were born, the moment you arrived on this planet, you were measured and tested incessantly. When you were born, for example, before they dried you off, they gave you a thing called an Apgar test. Ever heard of that? That's where they test your wellness. I remember when my firstborn, when Aaron was born, I was just counting toes and fingers. How about you? I just, Lord, please, Lord, have two legs, not four. You know, one head, not six. Oh, Lord, just let her be normal. Whatever that is, I've learned. Then they take you to school. You get an A, B. You get in the van. Remember when you got so nervous you had to take Pepto-Bismol because you wanted to get an advanced reading class. Yeah. That just means you get a book without pictures. That's screwy. You remember, you go to school and get good grades so you can do what? Go to middle school and get good grades. You do what? Go to high school to get into AP. Praise Jesus. You can go to AP. You can get an ulcer so you can go into college with 8 credit hours. Woohoo! So you can get out in 3.5 years to not find a job. Right? Really, seriously. I mean, have you ever thought of this stuff? We have been tested, and no wonder we're screwed up. You're A, you're a B, you're a C, you have this aptitude. I remember telling my teacher in sixth grade, she said, you know, we had the what do you want to be when you grow up day? You ever had that? I said, I want to be a writer. She said, you didn't even conjugate a sentence. I didn't attempt to write until much, much later in my life. We've been labeled. We hate. I mean it. I mean, I'm using the word hate, though Paul will chastise me later. I think it's greatly disliked, but we hate things that we can't label. Are you a conservative? Are you a liberal? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Are you independent? Are you in? You out? Are you Obama man? You're not Obama man? You're a conservative? I'm a Dave Ramsey man. I'm not a Dave Ramsey man. I'm a Dan Middleman. I'm a Titan. Shut up. Gee, we even wear shirts, right? Have you ever been on vacation? You see somebody have a Titan shirt on, you go, hey, man, how you good? Oh, I know you, man. You're my man. They could be an axe murderer for all you know. They stole that shirt. I mean, you know, really. I've always wanted to be, this is what I want my label. I want to be a radical, fanatical, liberal conservative. That's my new political party. You can join it. I want to be radical in kindness, fanatical about hope, liberal with love, and super conservative with any negative criticism of anyone else. Because you know what? I'm doing just good enough to float my own boat. How about you? Amen. I am the one in need of prayer. But the minute I say that, I am so accustomed and conditioned to criticize other people and judge other people and pigeonhole other people. And we all had that done to us. And no wonder we're carrying around the baggage that creates. Not only are we tested, measured, and tested, we are compared and criticized. Have you heard more than a few times, why can't you be more like? Well, because I'm not. Why can't you be more like your brother? I don't have a brother, mother. Not the drugs, sweetheart, you know. Why can't you be more, are you just like your father? Think if you hate his father. You know, you're just like your mother. You're like, not like my side of the family. Really? I've talked to people in counseling. I'm just angry. I'm just angry. My daddy was angry. My mama. You got mad angry genes. They're like people say, I'm bad at math. No, you just have bad math genes. It's not your fault. You're a victim. Aren't you glad? Go there and be miserable. I'm screwed up. You are, in a way the world has never seen. Hop along, dude. You know, really, not even God can help you. See, here's the truth. We are not what we are because of what we do. Rather, we do what we do because of who we are convinced we are. And if you are convinced that you are just a redneck, you're just some kind of lowlife, some kind of defective, deficient person, then that's how you'll behave. If you believe, though, that you were created in the image of God on purpose, with destiny, that you are here at this critical moment for a purpose, then everything that's happening to you, good or bad, takes on new meaning. But it's really hard to believe that because our whole lives, we've been compared, criticized, measured, tested, and we've come up short, right? I mean, you've probably never gone into a class where someone, everyone gets 100. No, you've gone into a class that everybody's at 0 until you prove otherwise. And how many of you know that some people who are really, really good at testing don't know more than people who are really not all that good in testing, but they didn't kind of absorb the truth? School is screwed up. Yeah, there's no, that's a period. This is not funny. You know, school is about learning. No, no, it's about testing and being measured. And God forbid if you ever land on the wrong side of the bell curve. Ever heard that? A little piece of genius? So, if you think that's bad, that's why you're so screwed up. That's why you're carrying all this stuff and there's no joy, energy, enthusiasm in your life. Not because you're a bad person, not because you're out of shape, not because you don't, you know, you don't drink protein milkshakes. You're just carrying around the weight of the world. And I'm telling you, let it go. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all you who are laboring, are heavy laden, and I will make you a Baptist. Give you enough church work to kill you early. You can come on up to heaven. Right? What did Jesus, seriously? He said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. What did he say? My burden is light. Really? That's an oxymoron, isn't it? My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My harness is easy. That's why the harness, idea of pulling the load. I've lined my life up. I'm in alignment with God's will, God's purpose, God's values in life. The Ten Commandments aren't suggestions from me. They're not God's way of cramping my style. They're simply God's way of telling me this is how you live the best, most fun, most energetic, most productive life. This is how you do it. Now, all that having been said, have you ever thought or felt that somebody out there doesn't like you? Just get that feeling. It's just like, you know, just somebody out there looks at you and says, I don't like you. They don't like the way you look. They don't like the way you smell. They don't like the clothes you wear. They don't like the tie. Well, you have a tie? I have three. And if you feel that way, you would be right. Not only have you been tested and measured, compared and criticized, you have been conspired against. I can prove it from the scripture. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan and his demons hate you. They would love nothing more than to destroy you. They would love nothing more than you to look at God through the lens of religion and reject his offer of grace. They would love nothing more than to confuse the issue about Christ. It's like the young kid who came up to me. I was speaking several years ago. Paul and I were over at NC State. And he came up. He said, man, Jesus is cool. Christians creep me out. I said, join the club, dude. There's a big difference between Ianity and Jesus. And Satan wants to keep you away from him. But you get that relationship with Jesus, that enduring, prevailing relationship, that Romans 8 kind of relationship, that neither death nor life nor any other thing was separated from the love of God. Amen. Once I'm in Christ, I'm always in Christ. From hell or high water or flood or anything else. Then what Satan would love to do is mute your life. He can't have your soul. What he'd love to do is just mute your effectiveness. Convince you that you all this testing and measuring and comparing and criticism, all these things people say about you are true. You're junk. You're defective. You'll never be any better. And all of that is a lie from the pit of hell. And it smells like smoke. Now, because we've all had this common experience, and we have the tension between this experience and what we've been told about God. Under pressure, we always tend to go home. Yesterday, Paul and I did a wedding outside. Yeah, we did. And we've done several over the years, bunches over the years. We ought to come up on the David and Paula show, Paul. And this week, we're going to talk about on the Dave and Paula show about Alan Tipper Gore's divorce. give some insights about that, which is really, I hope all of you feel sad about that. I don't care what your political leanings are. But we ought to talk about in the next week about the top 10 things you should never do when you get married. You want to? Let's do that. I have 9. You can add 1 to it. Okay. But I can tell you on my top 5 list would be, do not get married outside. Do not do that to yourself. Gee whiz. I was marrying someone one time. Oh, where is it? What is it? It's not the Hermitage, which is another over. There's a big home over in Donelson. It's in the airport traffic pattern. Beautiful wedding. Do you want? He said, "What?" I said, "Do you want?" What? You did. Okay, just. Or it rains, or something else happens. But, you know, we went over. Actually, yesterday turned out great. We left Franklin. It was coming a flood. We got there, and then, you know, by the time we actually started, we could hear the thunder. But it worked out fine. But here's one of the biggest problems about getting married outside. It always raises the tension level. Always. Well, here's what I know that other people don't know at a wedding, because I've done so many of them. It's all going to come out fine. And all of your worrying and all of your stress and all your anger and all your snippy, snippy, me, 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 isn't going to change anything. We're going to get you hitched, baby. Amen? As long as you're legal, we're going to get you together. Amen. But married people, they've been planning on that marriage for 29 years. And all the pressure and all the tension. And you know what I tell people? Listen, lighten up. That's how I live. Paula used to say to me, comb your hair. Now she says, lighten up. This is her number one advice to me. Lighten up, lighten up. And she's right. Every time I lighten up, but every time I tense up, this is what happens. I tend to relive old hurts. Things can be going really well. Something happens in my life. I tend to go back and live those old hurts. It's going to always be that way. So-and-so betrayed me. You can't trust people. All people are sorry. You know, this woman, maybe you have gone through a painful divorce and a man did you wrong. We ought to shoot him if we wouldn't go to jail. At least poison him. Oh, we just cut his tires. Okay. I know some people who do things like that. I know a guy named Vinny. He does things. I had a guy seriously call me up one time. His name is Vinny. He said, I hear you're going through some trouble. Yeah. I just assume he's smoking. I don't know. He said, I know people who do things. Vinny, I love you, buddy, but I think that's not probably the road we need to go down. Why? Because you think God wouldn't be pleased? I said, no, because I think they'd trace it back to me. How? But here's a woman. She's been hurt by a man, truly hurt by a man. And all of a sudden, all men are jerks. All men are terrible. No one can be trusted. And that is a lie. Here's a man been jilted by a woman. All of a sudden, all women are fickle. All women are crazy. All women are on drugs. No, they're not. No, they're not. There are some people in this world who will go out of their way to hurt you, but they will be few. But do we not tend to what I call absolutize the modal sphere? We tend to take one experience and cover it on all experiences. That's why you can see a man or a woman who's been jilted in marriage or in a relationship, and boy, they are touchy. You know what I'm saying? Touchy. Well, you say the wrong thing, and the blood drains down their face, and you know the antennas come up, and kill. You know, whoa, back up, dude. It. We also tend, under pressure, of this old way we have been raised to replay old tapes. Oh yeah, replay old tapes. Old tapes, old tapes. The old stuff we've been told. Man, here's why are we this way? I'm not this way, but you are. You give me a compliment. I was walking through a couple of minutes ago. We do a thing between the service, and I had like three or four people stop me and say, "Man, you got me back to God. You got me back to God." Yeah, man, that's what I do. Yeah, that's cool, isn't it? Seriously, I think that's pretty cool. Obviously, y'all don't. You know, maybe it's not the work you love, but it is for me. But if someone has stopped me and said, "Man, you are an idiot," I would take your name, your number, your social security number. I would see what car you left in. I would GPS, Google where you live, drive by your house every other week. Why did he say that? Why did she say that? Why don't they like me? Duh. I don't know. And we have these old tapes, this old pain, these old hurts that we constantly play over and over in our heads. And they put us back in the old ruts and so that we tend to repeat old habits. Why do you repeat old habits? Because you play the same old tapes and you relive the same old hurts. And so what are we doing in this step? We are making a searching, a fearless moral inventory. Step 4 of AA says, a fearless searching moral inventory of ourselves. That's what David said. David said, God, I trust you so much that all I'm asking is just peer down to the deepest recesses of my being. And if you see anything that doesn't look like you, that doesn't please you, that doesn't smell right, you take it. Oh, wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be great if we could trust God that way? I think that's why so many of us opt for religion than a relationship, because we don't trust God. We think we know better than God. And the truth is, we don't. He's the one who made us, loves us, and sustains us. And so I just want to say to you today, in God's name, there is a God, you ain't it. Lighten up. You are loved as you are, not as you ought to be, by a God who will take you where you are to where you've always dreamed you could be. If you are a follower of Jesus, your end is going to be a good one. It's already guaranteed. God loves you. He's for you. He's with you. And all you got to do is lay this stuff down. Amen? Lay it down. Lay it down. Because contrary to popular opinion, it's not the burden that we carry every day that robs us of our joy. It is the past burdens and pains and the future dreads and fears that crush our soul. So, that being true, and all of us probably would agree with that, how do you identify these places in our soul that continue to drive us, to drag all this stuff, to not trust God, to not align our lives up and obey what he says? If God says that adultery is wrong, we don't do it. Not because we're not tempted, not because, you know, my husband doesn't love me, so I'll find love somewhere else. My wife won't have sex with me, so I'm a blah, 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 blah. Listen, I've heard them all, or a version of almost all. But it doesn't matter. I'm not going to live on how my wife treats me, my children treat me, and my best friends treat me. I'm going to live in the shadow and the light of the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say, Lord, let me see all the things, look at all the things that drive me under the hood to carry all this weight. I want to just look at my, you just take away what you want to take away. If that's my house, if that's my car, if that's my stuff, if you need my stuff, whatever you need to do, I open the hood and you just do what you need to do. So to kind of move your thinking along that way, let's talk about some of the things that can be driving us to relive old hurts, repeat old habits, okay? First, One of the things I have found that drives people to destruction and to insanity is unmet needs. Isaiah 55 says it this way, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy?" Unmet needs. All of us live with unmet needs. Now, here is the crazy thing about marriage. Marriage is two messed up people getting together, hoping for a positive outcome. Hello. I mean, isn't the wedding act itself a little funny? We take pictures at a wedding like we never take anywhere else, which says you both are never going to look this good again. It's all down here from there. The guys wear tuxes. Really? Who are we fooling? The lady wears a wedding dress. Oh. It's like when the skies part and the sun, the God comes down and you go into a store. That's the dress. That's it. I must have it. It's $9,000. Sell my children. I'll take it. No, really. What we really ought to do at weddings is have people dressed in a way that truly reflects their emotional condition. Now, wouldn't that be worth watching? Huh? First of all, she wouldn't walk down the aisle. She'd be in a wheelchair. With all the damage her family's done to her. Amen? I mean, of course, not my family, your family. He'd be coming down on a crutch, having a big bandage over his eye, big stitches up his arm, where his family just cut him apart, all he hasn't done, and you can't believe you're marrying that woman. Have you seen her face in the sun? Yes, yes I have. And two people come together and have this great dream. And I'm going to tell you what, I love being married, but it has not been easy. And Paula will say, the only prevailing regret of my life is the pain I've caused my wife. Now, I'm sure I've caused my daughter's pain, but I've tried to be a good dad. But when I look at her and I see the expectations and how I've made it more difficult than it had to be and it should have been, I realize I have not met her expectations. Now, because I'm married to a good woman who understands grace, loves me, gives me grace, and all that. But here's my point is this. Everything, every experience in your life is ultimately set up to disappoint you, and God is the author of that fall. Can you understand why? Because he's not going to let you find your ultimate needs met in anyone or anything else but him. That's why two people get married and expect that you're going to meet all my needs. Your husband cannot meet all your needs. He can't even load the dishwasher. How can you expect him to plumb the depths of you? Amen? And women, guys, can't even decide where they want to go out to eat. Where you want to go? I don't care. Well, let's go. No, I don't want to go there. Why not? It was cold when I went there 6 years ago. Okay. Listen, if there are people who have failed you and haven't met your needs, here's an idea. Let it go. Amen. Just let it go. There are dead people controlling some of you in this room. Amen? Seriously. Let them go. Was my father perfect? No. He's just a good old guy. My mother perfect? No. No, no, no. No, they weren't. But you know what? They're dead. I'm not going to let my brother treat me like crap. Yeah, it's whatever. You know what? We're all human, amen? We're all broken. We're all fractured. We're all messed up. Come on, give me a break. Give me a little grace here, amen? A little forgiveness. How about this? Are you driven by unfulfilled promises? People make all kinds of promises, won't they? Proverbs 25:19, putting confidence in an unreliable man is like chewing with a sore tooth. Isn't that vivid? Or trying to run on a broken foot. That's even better, isn't it? Hey, what are you doing? Are you limping? What's wrong? My foot's broke. But I'm making good time. I never will forget the first half marathon I ran. These four guys from Fort Campbell passed me in full packs with combat shoes on. Oh, my Lord. It's 9,800 degrees outside. They're just trekking like, oh, isn't that great? And I'm doing everything I can, you know. I'm stripped down to the bare mentionals. I'm just trying to survive the experience. You will live with unmet needs. That is God's design. Your heart, as Augustine said, your heart is restless and it will not find rest until it finds rest in God. You need to get over that. If you are still at war with Jesus Christ, if you're still living in doubt and you're not there yet, you just might as well just go ahead and give up and give in and cross over the line and find your joy and your enthusiasm and your renewable energy in the God who loved you, sustained you, redeemed you, and has a plan for your life. People will make promises they won't fulfill. What are you going to do about it? You have to let it go. How about this? I'm driven by unfinished business. I love this verse out of 2 Timothy 4. This is the great missionary Paul, the great erudite, the great sophisticate, the guy who could speak 14 different languages, who was raised in aristocracy, who was opposed to Christianity to the point that he killed people over it. And then he met Jesus on a Damascus Road conversion experience and his life radically changed. He turned the world upside down with this statement, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. And along that trip and journey, he had a lot of people around him who he loved. Obviously, there was a guy named Demas that he loved. And he's in the winter of his life. He knows he's getting ready to be martyred. And this is what he says. Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. God, man. That's tough, isn't it? This is a true story. No hair on this story. When I was, I think I was probably 10 or 11, maybe 12, probably no older than 11. My brother's over 8 years older than me, and we fought all the time. And I was bigger than my brother when I was born. And my brother was born, was a premature baby, so he was not a big guy. And we fought all the time. And one day, my mother was always, you know, don't do this. And we broke one of her favorite bowls. I think he did, actually, if I remember correctly now. It's called redactionism in literally. Anyway, I thought, oh God, we're in deep trouble. Well, they were building a new road in front of our house, and so I took that bowl and I buried it in the bank. Oh yes, I did. I was not a Christian then, so you cannot hold that against me. I did smoke, though I was 11 years old, and I'm from Kentucky, where smoking is indeed a spiritual gift. And I have thought about that all my life. His mother never brought it up, never said anything about it, buried her, you know, the broken bowl. Okay, Paula is my witness. She's sitting over there. When my mother died and we're cleaning out her house, guess what I found? The bowl. Oh, yes. Never said a word, never shame on you, just the broken bowl. I've often wondered, just know my mother a little feisty, if she didn't just plant that there. You! I don't know. But I know an awful lot of people who are living with a broken bowl. You need to let it go. Amen? You just do. Am I driven by unrealized potential? Things that you could have been, but you haven't. Am I driven by uncelebrated service? The fact that you give and give and give and people don't really seem to recognize it. Ladies, I'm going to help you out right here. Guys, I'm going to help you out. This stuff is really good. Women say, how do I look? They are not asking for a fashion statement. Amen? You say, well, should I lie? Yes. Put a period by that word and ask no more questions. Guys, on the other hand, are like dogs. We ask, how'd I do? 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 Right? 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 And guys, listen, ladies, we can take an empty milk carton and put it in the trash can, which is the obligation of any sane human being, and we still want an award for it. How to do, how to do, how to do, put it. Never mind, you do it every day. You say, that's stupid. No more stupider than you watching the Entertainment Channel, all these Bridezilla shows. It's just how we are. Amen. We just made that way. And that's a good thing. But all of us sometimes do things for which we feel we've been slighted or not recognized or not appreciated. But here's the last one. I'll stop here. A lot of us are driven. You take all these things and if I could just compress it into one thing. All of us are driven by unresolved anger. I mean, when I get pressed, when I really get pressed, then I can get angry really quickly. How about you? When I lighten up and, you know, let God be God and just, you know, let God just see what needs to go in my life, then I feel so much better. I like this. This is out of Hebrews 12. Watch out that no bitterness take root among you. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. I'll close with this. Anger management is a myth. You cannot manage your anger. Unless, of course, you only have really good days where everything goes your way. And then you're good to go. For the rest of us, we need to hold out for anger resolution. That is the story of the gospel. Jesus Christ met the demands of God's righteousness and holiness by his sacrifice. We have peace with God. We are not living with God in detente. We are living at peace. Because that peace has been earned by our Savior. We need to apply that to other people. Set them free. Forgive them. Let them go. Let it all go. Let the past disappointments and hurts. They promised you chocolate and they gave you a dill pickle. Grow up. Amen? We all go there. We all have that. The men and women who win at life are the ones who say, oh God, search me. My good friend, Dave Ramsey, he got this from me. Although I've never exposed him publicly with this, but I am today. When Ramsey is asked, how you doing? He says, better than I deserve, and he got that from me. So you just tell, if you ever see him, just say, Foster's outed you in public. But I like that. I am doing better than I deserve. And that's not a statement of false humiliation. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to be cute or cool. I am. I don't deserve the life I have. It is a gift. I don't deserve the grace I have. It is a gift. I don't deserve the love of my family. It is a gift. I don't deserve anything. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Father, we bow before you. We confess that we drag along way too much stuff. And we relive those old tapes and those old statements. And Father, we oftentimes live driven by unmet needs and anger and all the stuff. And we want it cleaned out. We want to love you enough and trust you enough to say what David was able to say without reservation. Search me, O God. Search me and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Take away anything in my life that would detract me from my love for you and my love for what you love. I pray for these amazing men and women. They are loved. Oh God, help them to understand how much they're loved, that they're winners, not victims, that they are overcomers. They have all the love and all the power at their fingertips just for the asking. May they live extraordinary lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.